Well, we will be in Psalm 98 this morning. So you can go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. Psalm 98. As we look ahead to a new year and we are reminded of God's faithfulness to us and we look forward in faith to what lies ahead, and though there are many uncertainties that come with a new year, with a new day, with a new minute, we are reminded in God's Word that we can trust in Him. So that will be our prayer this morning, that we will find in God's Word the strength and the wisdom to trust in Him. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You that each and every day that we rise up out of bed in the morning with breath in our lungs, with strength in our bones, we receive that from You, and that apart from You, there would be none of that. Apart from You, we could do no thing. We could not draw breath. We could not do any righteous deed. We could do nothing but perish. And so we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your provision. We thank You for the abundant ways You have blessed us. We thank You for occasions like a new year, which prompt us to look back and reflect on all of the ways we have seen You working. All of the ways that You came through at just the right time. All of the things You did that people said were impossible. All of the odds that You beat. All of the ways You have shown Yourself to be the one true God. We delight in You. And I pray that the year ahead of us would be one marked especially with delight, with joy at knowing You, with trust in You. I ask that You would help us to trust You more. I ask that You would help us to follow You more faithfully in obedience, Lord, committing our lives to You. Perhaps this first Sunday service of the new year is a time for some to recommit to walking faithfully in Your ways. Lord, I pray that we would be a faithful people. I pray that we would honor You with our lives, with our lips and our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our deeds. Lord, may we be all for You. Help us. Sustain us. We come to You acknowledging our need of You. We trust You and we depend on You. I pray for those among us and relatives of those here who are sick, who are facing struggles and hardships, and illness, and I pray, Lord, that we would be a loving people, a people whose lives reflect Your goodness and grace and mercy and kindness. I pray that You would sustain those who are suffering, that You would help them to keep the faith, to be strong. Lord, we look to You, and I ask for Your blessing upon this service. I ask for Your blessing upon this message. As we look into Your Word, Lord, I pray that we would find in it strength, encouragement, conviction, that we would see Your beauty and Your worth, Your glory, that we would be moved by Your Spirit to service in Your name, to a life of devotion and faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with joy. Fill us with joy, even as you convict us of sin and help us and transform us. Lord, I pray you would be with us this morning. Guard me as I endeavor to preach from your word. Lord, may I speak only that which honors you and helps your people. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, we're in Psalm 98, and I thought that this would perhaps be a fitting passage for a new year, for a time of looking ahead and a time of really reflecting on what do we want this year to be about. As a church and as individuals, when you get right down to it, what do we want to say is the most important thing? What do we want to really, if we're going to sort of craft a statement about what this year should be, what is it going to be? What is the song that we are going to sing this year be about? So we see in Psalm 98, the psalmist begins by saying, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." My prayer that I have been praying over myself and my family and this church is that in the coming year we would grow in many ways. But I pray out of this psalm specifically that we would grow in our joy in the Lord, in our trust in Him, and in our affections for God. I pray that we would love nothing in this world more than we love Christ. That we would desire nothing more than we desire to know the Lord. That would be the framework in which we live our lives. The lens through which we view every decision that we'll have to make in the coming year. Every crossroads that we come up against, every trial and temptation and hardship, every blessing and delight, I pray that we would view through the lens of being a people who love God more than we love anything and trust in Him and delight to do so. A people filled with joy. And I get all three of those things here in the three stanzas of this psalm, which begins, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Now, what does it mean to sing a new song, and especially to God? Why would we sing a new song to a God who is the same yesterday, today, forever? In a sense, you could say there is nothing new about God. His attributes have remained throughout the ages. He comforts his people in Malachi by saying, "I, the Lord, do not change. I do not change." I think sometimes we value change. Sometimes we want change for change's sake. So we just want something new, something different. We get bored. And we think of something staying the same forever and ever is, oh man, the height of boredom. But this is a comfort. God presents himself in this way as a comfort to his people by saying, "I, the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. You can rest. You can have confidence for the days ahead because I do not change. We need to understand that about God, that He is faithful, ever faithful, that He does not change, that He is trustworthy, that we can lean on Him. We can't say that about much in this world. We can't say that even about our spouses. As much as you love them, I'm willing to bet over the years there's been times they let you down. I know I have. I've been the one to let down. I'm not going to say she let me down. Not up here anyway. But the point is, He is different. He is altogether different. He is God. We can lean on Him. We can trust in Him because He does not change. So what does the psalmist mean when he calls us to sing to the Lord a new song? I think there's two ways we ought to view newness in this sense at this new year. One is this: we don't need a new song because the old song is now gone. God has not changed. His gospel has not changed. It's not now irrelevant or no longer applies or anything like that. However, we sing a new song because though God's character, His goodness, never changes, it seems like He keeps coming up with new ways to love and to bless us, new ways to reveal His never-changing character to us, His goodness to us, new ways of bringing new people into the fold, saving souls. And He keeps blessing His people in new and incredible ways. And so every day we might sing a new song about the new ways in which we have seen God be glorious in our lives. And we sing a new song because though the Lord never changes, though He never runs out of strength, though He is never exhausted, though He never has that feeling like this is all just too much for me to deal with, though that's true of Him, we feel that all the time. I know I do. I feel like that all the time. Like I need God. I need His strength. Often I think of myself, I feel like I'm a cup with a hole in the bottom. And I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. I pray for that next drink of water from God's spring to see me through. And He does. So often He answers those prayers and I feel refreshed. And then before long, it's like, what happened to this? It must just be leaking out the bottom because I need it again and again and again. And part of this idea of singing a new song is it not only benefits God that we would rightly glorify Him in praise, but it is for us a reminder of our need for Him every day. I would argue that the best way to equip your mind and heart for the year ahead is to remind yourself often of your need for God. That's sort of the opposite of your typical pep talk. Typically, the way a pep talk is supposed to work is to remind you of everything you have, all of your strengths, all of the weapons with which you might go and conquer your enemy. The biblical pep talk is to say, you are so in need. You are so in need of God. Apart from Him, you can do absolutely nothing. It's pathetic, really, what we would be on our own. But to remind ourselves that will keep us. That reminder will serve like guardrails on either side of you in your life as you're living day after day to remember our need of Him. The second we forget that, we start feeling good about ourselves. We start feeling like Mr. Independent, and I can make decisions maybe without consulting the Lord in prayer. It goes off the rails. Next week, we're going to start a new Sunday morning series, and we're going to be looking at the life of David. And I'm not sure how long it's going to go exactly, but we're going to look at the things that went well in his life, the things that maybe didn't go so well, and what was going on with this man? What made him what the Bible calls a man after God's heart? And one of the things we'll see is that at crucial moments during his reign, when decisions had to be made, when hard choices needed to be made, when rulings needed to be made, he would drop to his knees and pray. He acknowledged, the most powerful man in Israel, acknowledged his need of the Lord. Few times that he didn't do that, when he went rogue and made his own decision, the results were disastrous. The best way to be equipped for the coming year is to remember our need of God and to sing of it, to sing of the ways in which he fulfills, the way in which he has provided, the way in which he sustains. So every day is a new song. I praise you. I praise you for who you were to me in this last year. And I sing because I need you right now. I need you right now. I don't know all of the ways. I know I've heard some of your stories and rejoiced with some of you at times this past year, the ways in which God has come through. I think about how he has just shown himself to be so good to us personally. In this last year, I think about when we came here and we could not, for the life of me, I could not find a place for my family to live. You start questioning everything, you know. Is this the right decision? You know, what am I doing? Am I crazy? You know. And in his time, he provided a home which has consistently exceeded our expectations and our prayers. And I just remember May 1st, you all got there before we did. I kind of felt bad, honestly, but I was grateful for that image of driving up the driveway of our new home and seeing so many of you there. It was this affirmation. It was such a God moment of like, okay, you're in this. We're not alone. So grateful for that. I don't know what he's done in your life, but I hope that you'll take time, if you haven't already, to reflect and think about the things he has done for you. I thought Dale was going to die this summer. I know some of you did too. I think he maybe did. God, listen, if you haven't learned this already, we'll learn it right now together. Doctors, they don't know everything. Neither do any of you. Some of you, I think, maybe think you do sometimes. He alone knows all things and has a plan and a purpose for each of you and a time and a moment for all things. Psalms tells us every one of our days is numbered before we draw our first breath. And there is nothing that you or I or Satan or the government or anything in this world could do to thwart any one of those plans. If God says you are going to have this many days, you can take that to the bank. That is exactly to the second what you will have. He is good. He never changes. And so we equip ourselves for a new year. How? One, by reminding ourselves of our need of him. Two, by looking backward. Take a moment. We're always so focused on the things ahead. I'm probably more guilty of that than anyone. You know, I'm always thinking ahead. You know, visionary type of thinking. You know, goal-oriented type of, don't have to have time to reflect. Reflect. Take a moment to just stop and swivel your head around and look at the ways God has been with you. Remember. And then remember, he doesn't change. He's not like, okay, he was that God last year. I hope he'll going to be the same this year. He will. He will be the same. And he has made known his salvation. Verse 2. He has made known his salvation. We need to remember that. We need to think on that often. I was listening to a missionary in Pakistan, and he was talking about he had spent several years on the mission field, and he just felt so, like, everything was just dried up. Like, his heart was just an arid waste. He wasn't seeing results in his mission there. He wasn't seeing people come to the Lord. He was doubting everything. He was in such despair that he attempted to take his own life. And he lived. And when he came to and woke, he said, I saw an image of Christ, and he said, I want you. I want you. That is the message of the cross. You know that. He went to the cross to be with you. Look at what he gave to be with you, to be with each one of us. And this missionary, when he caught that spirit, when he understood that, his mission just exploded. And he says, it's because I was working out of compulsion. I was working out of duty. I was working out of this sense of service and even martyrdom. And I began working just out of joy that he wants me, that all he gave to have me, even when I valued my life as nothing, he gave his life for me. And that joy was made all the difference in this man's life. He was working out of joy. So let our psalm, the psalm we sing this year, not be one that is marked by begrudging service or a sense of duty and that sort of martyr spirit. Well, I'm going to keep my head down and do the work, and maybe if I do that, I'll prove my worth to God. So many live that way. Like, if we work hard, if we do well enough, if we serve our church well, we serve our community well, we're a good spouse, we're a good parent, whatever it is, that somehow that shows God our worth, that we were worth redeeming, that we're worth being in relationship with. You know, you can be the best at all of those things, and all of that will not even come close to revealing your worth the way the cross does. There's nothing you could do that could show God that you're worthy to come and be with him than the cross has already done. That God gave his own Son to be with us shows better than anything what we mean to him. And so as we go about doing good things, as we will and will commit to doing good things in this new year, let us not do so out of an attitude that says, I'm somehow earning my keep. I'm proving myself worthy. Nothing you could do will prove that better than the cross has already proven that. So really, the spirit with which we go about, or we ought to go about doing good things, is a spirit of joy and gratitude for what God has already done for us. Let the song we sing this year be a song that trusts in who God is, that looks backwards at what he has done for us, that is moved by joy. That's what it says in verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets, the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. A lot of options here. Praise him with the lyre. Praise him with the sound and melody, with the trumpets, with the horns. The point is, however you can think to do so this year, praise God. As many as there are different types of people in this world, different personalities, different skill sets, different giftings from above, there are that many different ways we can express our joy in praise to God. How has he made you unique? How has he blessed you in a unique way? How has he cared for you? What's your story? What's your background? How has he carried your burdens over the years? How has he comforted you, held you? What kind of broken life has he saved you out of? How can you uniquely sing praises to him this year with your life? Let the psalm we sing to the Lord this year be a psalm of joy, of looking backward, of creativity. Praise him with whatever you've got to praise him with. Whatever skills, whatever opportunities, just wherever he leads you, praise him there. Whatever he has you doing, whatever job, whatever role you find yourself in, wherever you find yourself living in the coming year, praise him there. And let our psalm be one that looks backward and forward. Look at verses 7 through 9. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The psalm begins looking backward and ends looking forward. You notice that? It begins all the marvelous things that God has already done. His hand, his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He's revealed his righteousness. All these past tense verbs. He has remembered his steadfast love. We look back and we find the blessing, all that God has done for us. But then we don't stop there. We don't stop there. That gives us the reminders we need to be full of faith, to stand firm in the faith for the days ahead. But then also we have to look ahead and trust his promises. He will come again. He will come again. And when he does, he will judge. Now, we don't oftentimes think of judgment as a joyful thing like the psalmist does here. We often think of judgment as kind of a dark thing. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Now, whether you like that movie or not, it's not the sort of thing that often prompts feelings of joy and peace like the psalmist is expressing here. But remember what causes the heartache, the pain, all that we go through, all the hardships we have, the suffering in this world. It's a result of sin. That's the problem here. And God comes to judge. There will be a day where he will make things right. And that will be a day like no other. We have never lived with that kind of peace when God will put an end to unrighteousness. It is a joyful thing to look forward and know that he, the God who never changes, who has been faithful to us in so many ways, promises that he will come and judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So when we sing a song like, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," we're not just looking backwards, you know. We're not just thinking about the baby in the manger. We're not just thinking about the cross. We're thinking of all of those things, and we're thinking ahead at the same time that he will come. He will come, and he will make things right. And so this year, let us trust him. Let us trust Him. Trust in His promises. Rejoice to live with Him each day. And may we grow in our affections for God. I say it again. My prayer is that we would be a people who love the Lord more than we love anything or anyone in this world.